My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for your daily dose of marketing strategies and tactics from entrepreneurs with the guile and experience to help you find success in any marketing capacity. You're listening to Marketing School with your instructors, Neil Patel and Eric Sue.
All right, guys, before we start, we got a special message from our sponsor.
If you want to rank higher on Google, you got to look at your page speed time. The faster your website loads, the better off you are. With Google's Core Vital update, that makes it super, super important to optimize your site for load time. And one easy way to do it is use the host that Eric and I use, DreamHost. So just go to DreamHost or Google it, find it, check it out, and it's a great way to improve your load time.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing School. I'm Eric Sue.
And I'm Neil Patel.
And today we're going to talk about why no one reads your content. So first and foremost, if you're writing, especially if you're in the marketing space and you're writing the same stuff everybody else is writing and you're basically, it's an echo chamber, well, you're not doing anything to stand out. And people, the attention span's getting lower and lower. I think a couple years ago, people were saying the attention span, average attention span was about 8 seconds or so. It's probably even gotten lower than that because if I just look at my behavior when I'm reading stuff, I'm just skimming through it now. I'm really looking for headlines, I'm looking for something to do, and I'm done, right? But if you're not giving anything new, people are going to label you as, oh, you're just another somebody else that is writing basically what everybody else is writing. There's nothing new here. You're not adding value. Then forget it. I don't need to hang out here because my time is valuable. Neil, what are your thoughts around this?
They say 8 out of 10 people will read your headline, but only 2 out of 10 people will continue and read the rest of your article. So what does that tell you? You'll lose most of the amount of people from your headline. If your headline's not really attractive, no one's going to end up reading it. Funny enough, even if it is really attractive, I found something interesting on with Twitter traffic and Facebook. At one point, we were looking how much Facebook traffic we're getting. We're like, we get more likes and shares in the article than the actual click-throughs to the site, according to Google Analytics. Same with Twitter. Not always with all posts, but it just comes down to headlines. If your headline isn't attractive, people aren't necessarily going to read it. So go to Google, type in copy blogger headline formula, and you'll find formulas that help you create really attractive headlines. The other thing you can do is Google Portent, P-O-R-T-E-N-T, headline generator. They have a tool that helps you craft really awesome headlines and then go from there. There's another author or a blogger named John Moreau, and really smart guy, could be butchering his last name, but he used to manage the Kissmetrics blogs years ago when we first started up. And what he ended up telling me, and this is a really smart thing, he's just like, it's all about the headline. And you know how I come up with really amazing headlines? I can use these headline formulas or these tools, you know, that I'm talking about, and they're awesome. They give me a start. But then what I do is I go to a bar and I try to find drunk people, and I then read them my headlines. If I can get the attention of a drunk person, I can usually get the attention of a sober person. And he's like, I spend almost half my time, this is John speaking, crafting the headline. And that way I have something really powerful that people want to read.
Yeah, and the other part is promotion too. A lot of people think they will build something and everyone will come. But as Derek Halpern says, it's the 80-20 rule. So if you want to listen to that podcast episode, it's Growth Everywhere. Just Google Growth Everywhere, Derek Halpern. And in there he talks about, well, here's the main thing. You should spend 20% of your time on the content and then 80% of the other time promoting it. Probably even more, maybe 90% of the time promoting. If you have no audience initially, you have to go get the word out. You have to reach out to other people, right? Instead of trying to close these other people and trying to get something from them all the time, you know, Neil gets emails all the time from people asking him for stuff. I get a lot of emails from people asking for stuff. But instead of doing that, reach out to these people and figure out, maybe even beforehand, before you even do the piece of content, figure out how you can help them. What can you give to them? Maybe what, you know, what introductions can you make to these people, right? That's how you get to know people in the beginning. So instead of always be closing, always be giving, right? ABG, think about what you can give first, and that's how you build relationships, because everyone's looking for something from somebody else. Everybody's looking to play an angle. But, you know, if you don't have a big budget initially, just use the power of your time. Reach out to these people. Use a tool like Email Hunter. That's hunter.io. You can find these email addresses and, you know, just reach out to these people. You can even use a tool like Mixmax and then, you know, send out multiple emails. But I would even, you know, shy away from doing that initially and say, hey, you know, send out, you know, templates or send out emails where, you know, the first couple sentences are customized, because that way you're tailoring it towards those people, and the response rate is going to be higher when you're trying to promote your content. Because promoting your content, you're going to get social shares, you know, hopefully icing on the cake is getting links as well, but you're also going to be building relationships with people, and that's how you get the flywheel moving.
Yeah, the other thing too with your content, speaking of Hunter, is one of the main reasons people don't read it, as Eric mentioned, is you're not promoting it. So go to buzzsumo.com, put in your competitor URLs, you'll find out what's popular in the space. You're putting keywords that's related to your articles. You'll see what's popular in the space. Take that URL, go plug it into search.twitter.com. It'll show you all the Twitter users that ended up tweeting that article. You can use Hunter to figure out their email addresses. So let's say I'm reaching out to Eric, right? He tweeted out an article that's similar to mine. So I'll email him with something like, hey, Eric, I know you shared, let's say, 10 ways to double your search engine traffic by John Lee Dumas. I actually have a similar article coming out next week, and mine covers 21 more ways to double your search engine traffic. Let me know if you want to see it. Cheers, Neil. And then in many cases, because it's very relevant to the article Eric already shared, he's going to say yes. So then I'm going to respond back with, here you go. And then I'll put cheers, Neil. P.S. If you share this, not only will it make my year, it'll make my decade or something like that. And then I'll do P.P.S. If I can do anything for you, please let me know. And the reason you want to add the P.P.S. with just asking them if you can help them out is, they're much more likely to share content if they know that you'll reciprocate later down the road. It's a simple way to get way more people to read your content.
All right. The other thing is, you have to look at the top players in your space. Who's doing things really well? You know, how are their blog posts formatted? What do their blog images look like? Even the design of the blog, you know, what's going on there exactly? So in many cases, when people complain about this, I often just look at their blog, what they're putting together, and to be frank, they're half-assing it, right? You know, they're not putting something really in-depth. It looks like an article that hasn't even been edited. So ideally, you have people that are helping you out in terms of editing it, or maybe you're doing a couple passes at it if you're first starting out. And then also your imagery matters too, right? You know, I know Neil has access to a lot of images out there from his stock photo site, but the stock photos that he picks, they actually look good. Or even having a custom, you know, blog designer too help you with that. That also helps, you know, at the end of the day. You just want to make sure everything kind of plugs in. I'm not saying these individual pieces all make a massive difference, but when you add everything up, it does make a big difference, because people are, you're competing with other people for attention, right? That's the most valuable thing. And if you're not doing, you know, your best to stand out, if you're half-assing it, if you don't have a good process to follow and basically duplicate across the board, well, you're not going to stand out, and then you're going to be one of those people that ends up saying, well, you know what? Content marketing just doesn't work for me. So Neil, anything else to add before we hop off?
I used to crank out a ton of content and it would get a ton of shares, but not a lot of traffic. And the reason being is, Eric mentioned this earlier, is I was writing a lot of mediocre content. So when you write Me Too mediocre content, eventually it won't work. When I first started blogging, it worked like a charm because no one else was doing it. I would go from writing 300 and 500 word posts to 1,000 word posts, and then everyone would read it and share it. And then I went into 2,000 word posts and then 5,000 word posts, and everyone started doing the same. So eventually all my content was just, you know, being regurgitated because everyone else was writing similar articles. The length didn't matter. Yeah, it may have been in-depth, but the information was old. So then I switched to a model. Instead of blogging 7 times a week with just standard information to blogging once a week with amazing, unique information, my traffic has actually increased. So what I did was I then took all my old posts that were popular, reshare them on a daily basis on Facebook so I can maintain my traffic, write one really amazing blog post a week. People like, oh, Neil, you're writing amazing content. This is what we expect from you. This is new stuff that we haven't seen. Helps with branding, helps position me in the marketplace, helps create the loyalty, and is generating me a lot of readership at the same time. So don't just write Me Too content. If you don't have as much time to write unique, awesome content, blog less, share your old posts on Facebook to maintain your traffic. And eventually, once you do this process for a few months, you'll notice that your traffic will maintain, if not grow. And you'll be spending less time writing content, and the content you do produce, you'll be happy to put your name behind because you'll be like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, and one more thing to note, you can use a tool like Meet Edgar to schedule your posts over time. Neil has a lot of different posts, so his social media manager doesn't have time to dig through every single thing. You might as well look at all the stuff that's the old stuff that's now still relevant today, the evergreen stuff. Ideally, you schedule everything into Edgar, and Edgar will basically go off the schedule that you specify and continue to share these posts over time, so you don't need to have somebody actively managing it. The more you can automate, the better for your business over time.
Well, minus Facebook. I've noticed when you use tools to schedule on Facebook, it gets less reach and viewer count than when someone manually goes and do that. So don't use tools to share on Facebook.
That is true, definitely on Facebook. So in Neil's case, you might even need to have someone train someone up on a new process to just post natively to Facebook. So anyway, that's it for today's episode of Marketing School. We'll see you tomorrow.
This session of Marketing School has come to a close. Be sure to subscribe for more daily marketing strategies and tactics to help you find the success you've always dreamed of. And don't forget to rate and review so we can continue to bring you the best daily content possible. We'll see you in class tomorrow, right here on Marketing School.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.